Good morning, church. My name is Nathan Flieger. I'm one of the student ministry directors here at Vineyard Community Church. And I just want to welcome you to our online service this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. If you are a guest, be sure to comment so down below and someone will get information to you about our church and what's going on. You can also email us at info@vineyard05.com and someone will send you some info. We're so excited to announce that we're coming back to in-person services September 6th. It is Labor Day weekend, and we're just really excited to get to see everybody again. We're going to try and have service with as few restrictions as possible. However, we're going to be following all the guidelines given to us by the state of Ohio, so we'll keep you updated on those. We've been having a blast with our outdoor church services over this summer. We've had two so far. And our third one is going to be Sunday, August 2nd. So be sure to come out and hang out with us. It's always a real good time. Without further ado, I'm going to pray us into our service this morning. Father, thank you just so much for the day that you've given us and for everyone who's able to tune in and watch. Thank you for the ability for us to connect, even though we're at a distance, Father. And I just pray that you bless the message this morning and that we all learn something. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Vineyard Community Church, and everyone that's joined us online. I want to say thank you for watching and just want to encourage you to join us in worship this morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Diani, and I'm excited to be here with you guys. And I get to continue the sermon series that we're doing called Things That God Uses to Grow Our Faith. And this is part two, and we're going to be talking about practical teaching. And I just wanted to start by sharing a story. Last week, I went fishing with my dad, my uncle, and my cousin. And over dinner, we were talking, and my uncle started to share with me a story about a house that he built back in New Jersey when he was younger. And he told me that he bought this plot of land, and as he was going to look at the plot of land, he was inspecting it, he started to sink. And before he knew it, he realized that the whole plot was a swamp. He was a little bit mortified at thinking that maybe he wasted his money, but he was determined, and he, by a series of miraculous events, found somebody to help him. And they proceeded to design a solution, which was to build basically a floating foundation that would just sit on the swamp, and then they would build a house on top of that. And they did. And he says even to this day, every time he goes back to New Jersey, he goes to check on that house just to make sure it hasn't sunk. But he says it's still standing, which is pretty amazing to me. And, I think what's crazy about that and about really all houses is the foundation, and it matters so much. And I know that when me and my wife are looking for a house, to the untrained eye, the house might look amazing and perfect, and you're thinking, man, this is great, what a great deal. But I know that many times we would call my uncle and I say, hey, we're going to look at this house, can you come please? Because I know to his eye, things might be a little bit different. And I know that a couple times he would kind of pull me, hey, just come here, look at it from this angle. And you did, and then you realize that the whole house was shifting, or the whole wall was bowing. I remember one time we looked at a house, and it was a beautiful house. And it was on this hill overlooking this ravine, but it was strangely cheap. And we realized that the entire house was sliding down the hill. So, you know, it's like, man, like, you could have this fantastic house, this amazing house, but it could be worthless. Or it could just need a significant financial investment. And even the house we're living in now has steel beams that are reinforcing the whole foundation because it had started to crack and shift. A foundation, it's crucial to a house. You can have millions of dollars invested in a house, but if the foundation isn't solid, then it's going to crumble. My family is home builders, so this kind of, you know, is something that I hold true to. And there's also the thought of what material are you using? I know my dad, he built his house that we grew up in, and I remember just the other day he's telling me about the block that he used and that it was a thicker block. You know, I wanted to use the 12-inch blocks, not the 8-inch blocks. Well, and why doesn't everybody use 12-inch blocks? Well, they're a little more expensive, but they're solid. They're more, you know, they don't shift as much. But today we're going to be looking at a sermon from Jesus in Matthew 7, and then we're just going to be looking at the tail end of the sermon. It was the Sermon on the Mount, and it goes from chapter 5, 6, and 7. We obviously won't have time to do the whole thing, but we're just going to be looking at the way that Jesus ended the sermon, which I think was the culmination of everything that he was saying. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 7, chapters 24 through 28, and I'm just going to go ahead and read that for you guys, and we can kind of get started. So in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24, Jesus is finishing his sermon series, and he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and with a great fall it was. And when Jesus had finished, the crowds were just astonished because he taught like one who had authority. It is it's one of the most incredible messages that Jesus shared, and I constantly reread it and learn so much just from this sermon. And but Jesus's ending is so important. It's so critical that we look at this. He just a few verses earlier, he kind of gave us some other interesting points about how he warns us that there are, you know, not to be tempted to take the easy way, that there is no easygoing formula for success that can be practiced in our spare time, but that the way to God is a bit more vigorous and that it requires your complete and total attention. And then he even goes into another point about warning us against false teachers who are, you know, very smiley and happy and seem sincere, but really are there to kind of rip you off. And we need to be careful not to be impressed by someone's charisma, but rather to look at their character. And, you know, as Jesus is sharing this, he's really putting himself on the up for trial, because people are looking at Jesus, and I could tell you, you know, Jesus is the perfect example of somebody who practiced what they preached. Jesus is the perfect example of being somebody who doesn't just talk about doing, but does it. You know, one of my favorite things is just like looking at Jesus's life and learning from his actions. He didn't really teach a lot of practical things. I can almost go through the whole gospel and give you the 20 some practical lessons that Jesus taught, but he taught through example and taught by action and taught by doing. And that's what he's saying here, you know, that we need to be careful that we're not just talking and we're not just learning, but that we're taking these things and we're putting them into practice in our life. And I love the analogy that he uses. It's kind of like the analogy of the foundations of the house. And I want to take a look at those, and we're just going to look at the two different carpenters that Jesus talks about. You know, in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell down, the rivers came, the winds blew, pounded on the house, yet it did not collapse because the foundation was rock. So it's crucial that we catch the fact that Jesus doesn't say you're wise if you hear them. No, he doesn't say you're wise if you read them. He doesn't say you're wise if you just study them. He doesn't say you're wise even if you have advanced degrees in research and study of them. But you're wise if you do them and put them in the practice. I can't help, every time I read this, it kind of just reminds me, I don't know why, I keep going back to like the story of the three pigs and the wolf, you know, and it's like, you know, he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. But, you know, Jesus is saying here that the winds came, the rains came, but the house didn't move. It was rigid. It was solid. And then, you know, we want to look at the other one of, well, before we took a look at the other one, let's just think about this. What are the things that Jesus is saying we need to put into practice? You know, here's this long message that we won't really have time to dig into, but I'm just going to give you a quick list of the things, some of the things that he covered in this one message. He starts off by telling us how people are to be truly blessed. He taught us how to be the salt and the light of the world. He taught us not to hate, because hating is like murder. He taught us not to lust, because lust is like adultery. He taught us about divorce. He taught us to tell the truth and to keep the commandments. He taught us to turn the other cheek when somebody were to do wrong to us. He taught us to love our enemies. He taught us how to give, how to pray, how to fast. He taught us how to store up treasure in heaven rather than on earth. He taught us not to worry about anything. He taught us not to judge others according to our own standards. He taught us not to ask, or he taught us to ask and seek and knock for his blessings. He taught us to take the narrow path and to watch out for false teachers. You know, these are universal principles of your life. I don't think Christian, non-Christian, no one's going to disagree with these things. These are fantastic principles of life. And, you know, I think I want to make a point to that, because the thing is, nobody would disagree with Jesus about these things. And, you know, we want to be good people. Everybody wants to be a good person. We want to love people. We want to give. We want to pray. We want to fast. And what Jesus is saying is, put these things into practice, because when the winds will come, it will be your natural reaction to the storms of life, because they will come. And then Jesus talks about the foolish carpenter or the foolish man. In verse 26, he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded on the house, and it collapsed with a great crash." You know, Jesus doesn't beat around the bush here. It's crazy. He doesn't just give you a guarantee that your house will stand. You know, he says, practice these things, put these things into practice, watch me. He even later on makes these claims, and he says, watch me, be like me, and you will withstand the storms. And then he gives a warning to those who do not. And it's a pretty harsh warning at that. That is not a good result. You really don't want to find out that your foundation is weak. I think a lot of times, like, the fear of building a fantastic house, an amazing house that was, you know, like the one we saw. I stood in it. It was a beautiful home. All this money that was invested. But it was fundamentally flawed. And it was so sad to see that amount of work and effort just sliding down the hill. Now, it could be saved, but not without a significant amount of work. And even like my uncle's swampland, I think he probably could have easily just gave up and avoided the amount of work that would have taken. But God was on his side. God was rooting for him and you know, through favor, figured out a solution to save the land and to build a beautiful home. To this day, I know that for me personally, following Jesus is a true blessing, because I don't have to worry about my house. I can, you know, I know that at the end of my life, I can look back and I don't have to ask the question, what was my life worth? Was it all worth something? Was it all in vain? That's a question that doesn't haunt me. And I think that's worth everything. And it's not because I'm trying to be selfish about my life, but that I have a guarantee that if I build my life upon Jesus. See, it's not just about Jesus' teachings, because Jesus' teachings are great. But when we look at Jesus' life, and the things that he did, the way that he acted, and we allow that to be a part of who we are. If we constantly are asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do here? How can I love this person the way Jesus would love this person? He taught us to forgive. He taught us to give. He taught us not to worry. And if I'm continually challenging myself to live that way, to live like Jesus, then at the end of my life, I don't have to worry about my foundation, and that my life is worth something, and it is eternal. And, you know, it kind of goes back to like Jesus was saying, investing in the kingdom of heaven and not on earth. I know that the more that I live like Jesus, the more that I am investing in something that's going to last forever and not just for this lifetime. Every decision I make, every day, I consider Jesus and his teachings. I want to try everything against that solid rock. And usually what happens is when I take my decision or the thing that I'm thinking about and I test it against the rock, all of the earthly things will shatter away, and what's left is what God truly wants out of that. And I see it, and then I understand God's purpose for me, and I pursue that. His teachings and his life help me rid myself of all of the pointless and vain things, so that at the end of it all, I have what is left has been tried by him, through him, and it will last forever. And I think that is what we all desire. We don't want to live our life in vain and do things in vain. Everybody wants to be a good person. We want to love people like Jesus says. We want to forgive. We want to be generous. And we want it to last. And I think that Jesus is trying to help us understand that there's a way for that, and he is the way. He is the way. That he can be the foundation of your life, and that you never have to worry about it again. And so I want to encourage everyone that we, right now, it doesn't matter what state or what condition you're in. Maybe you feel like a house that's sliding down a hill. Maybe you can feel your foundation is crumbling under the pressure of the world. Maybe you're wondering if the things that you're doing are worthless. And I want to tell you to choose Jesus. These two carpenters in the story, it's really a choice. It's a choice. They chose either to build their life upon who Jesus is and his teachings, or to not. And if you do choose that, and maybe you have never chosen that, and I want to challenge you in this moment that this can be your moment to choose that. Today can be that moment to choose Jesus and to believe in everything that he teaches. And I don't know everything that he taught. I don't have it memorized, but I have the Bible. And I have people that I rely on. And that's what it's about. It's about I have chosen to believe in Jesus. So I look to the scriptures for his teachings and challenge myself. And it's become my knee-jerk reaction to life. Something bad comes my way. Guess what my knee-jerk reaction is? It's to pray. It's to look at who Jesus is, to see what his will is in that situation. And that's just like the house that's getting pounded on by the rain and the wind, but it will not topple. So I want to encourage you in that. And just encouraging those who have chosen Jesus, but maybe your foundation needs a little bit more attention, a little bit more support. And to let you know and to encourage you in this, that it is hard. And that Jesus warned us that it would be hard. He said it's not, you know, there's two roads. There's a broad road and the narrow road. And the road to God is narrow. It is not a simple, something you can just add on to your life, but it is the very root of who you are, and it needs constant attention and constant care. That's what it's like to grow near to Jesus. It's got to become the foundation of who you are. And so, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to glean from this, but I do just want to give you guys that moment now to think about that, to meditate on that, and to really listen to what Jesus is saying here at the end of this message. He's challenging us. It's a challenge and it's a warning, but it's also a promise. And that we can respond to that and we can have that joy in our life. That I can walk through life knowing, not fearing, and believing that I am secure in him. So thank you guys for listening, and I hope that was encouraging to you. I enjoyed sharing it, and we're just going to close out with some prayer and then continue into a time of worship. So Jesus, I thank you again for who you are and that you were the perfect example. That all I have to do is look at your life. It's not a written set of do's and don'ts, but it's you. It's you, Jesus. I can look at you, and you are the example. And I want to mimic you, God, because you told me that if I put your teachings into practice, that my life would be secure in you. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God. What a relief. And I pray for those who have not felt that great release and that great joy, that they begin to experience it now, God. That they can find that release in you, that comfort on Christ the solid rock. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as a closing thought, I want to encourage us in this, that, you know, even in my life, if you were to go down into my heart and look at the foundation of my life, it would be a mess. It's broken, it's cracked, it's shifted, it's sliding down a hill. But what you would see is that it's been supported and held up by Jesus. It doesn't even make sense. But there's Jesus in the midst of that broken foundation that's been damaged and beaten, but it's stronger than ever. It's the steel beams in my heart. And I don't need to be intimidated by the brokenness in my life and my failed attempts to try to follow his teachings, but that I can rest assured that Jesus has paid it all and that he's holding up my life and my heart and he's healing me. And I put all of my weight on him. My whole being is resting on him because he can handle it. Only he can handle it. And I don't have to feel that weight and pressure anymore. And I am just so grateful because guess what? Now I get to live in joy. I get to live in freedom. And if that's you, and maybe you are like me, but you don't have those steel beams. You don't have Jesus stretched out with his arms. And I just want to pray for you today because you don't have to live another day with the pressure anymore. So, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being the rigid structure in my life. And I just pray for those that are seeking that, that are needing that, that need you. You are the answer to their hurt, to their pain. You can become the solid foundation that they need in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. At this time, we're going to be taking our offering, and I just want to remind you guys that there are three different ways that you can continue to give and support the church. The first way is on the website at vineyard05.com at the give page. And you can also text to give. And you can also drive by and drop off your cash or check here at the church if you prefer. And all this information will be at the end of the video. So just stay tuned for that. And we're just going to pray for the offering right now and ask the Lord to bless it. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for the generosity and thank you for the blessing of being able to tithe, that we get to give our money to you, and that through that, the kingdom of God is expanding and growing, that we get to be partners in what you're doing. And I thank you for all the people that are partnering up with you, they're partnering up with the church here in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, to spread the kingdom of God. So I thank you for that, God. Just multiply it. Do more with our 10% than we could possibly imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding. The rage in me is still at your name. Call these bones to pray. Call these lungs to sing.
All right, we're going to end our service with a blessing, so if you guys would just join in with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.